Good morning. How are you guys doing this morning? Well, my name is Steve. Howdy. And I am one of the pastors here. And it's been a long time since I've been up here. So it's a real pleasure to be with you. Let me pray and then we'll get started, okay? So, Lord, we just welcome you here this morning. We thank you so much that you're a good, good Father, and that you love us, that your mercies are new every morning, and you see each and every one of us here today. You know what we've gone through to get here, whether it's been easy or it's been hard, and you're excited that we're here. You care about our souls, and you want to speak to us this morning. And so we invite you, Holy Spirit, to speak to us. We invite you, Holy Spirit, to accomplish good things through your word today. And take the things that you've put on my heart to communicate, God, and just use them for your glory, God. Use them for your name's sake and for the salvation of souls. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we are in a series called The Problem of Hope. And sometimes hope has problems, doesn't it? Or we have problems with it. And sometimes hope can even be confusing, right? I don't know about you, but it's confusing sometimes, and especially with a topic like that we're going to go over this morning, the hope of our resurrection, the hope of our resurrection from the dead. So have you ever been up close to death, like been around someone who is dying, like about to pass from death, from life to death? And, yeah, I have too. For me, it was in 1994. I was out at leadership training in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. So it's a summer project where a bunch of Christians go out there. And I had an overnight job in a grocery store, stocking shelves. And fortunately, I worked with a couple of buddies. It was actually a really good summer. I got to memorize scripture all night long. But me and my friend were about to leave, and we heard this frantic voice come over the loudspeaker, and they said, if anybody has medical experience, please come to the back of the store. Me and my friend didn't have medical experience, but we were curious. So we ran to the back of the store, and we ran out the stock room, and we saw these people going out the back of the store, like outside, and we saw them looking around the corner, so we went outside and we turned the corner. And it was like time stopped. What we saw took our breath away. We saw this truck sitting there really close, like from here to there. And we quickly saw that this truck was running and that it had an exhaust, you know, hose taped to the exhaust pipe, like a hose, and was going around the side of the door. And we saw this guy. We couldn't see the body, but we saw somebody that had started to do CPR on the body. And so we saw him through the back of the truck doing CPR frantically, and he stopped very quickly after we got there. Who knows how long he had been going, the person doing CPR. But this guy had given up on life. You know, we had this curiosity in us. We wanted to see the dead body. We didn't even know why, but it just wasn't right, you know, to kind of scoot around to the side of the door and look at the body. So we just stood there for a little bit. The ambulance got there, and it was a sobering moment, as you can might imagine. Me and my friend, we drove home, and we started talking about death, and we came to the conclusion, the reality that, you know, it didn't matter what this guy believed before he died. whether he believed there was life after death. At that moment, he believed. He was standing before God in judgment. And this guy had lost hope in life and committed suicide, which at times can be easy to do. Maybe some of you have had that feeling of losing hope in life. You know, for me, if this life was all I had, I probably would have lost hope a long time ago. If this life is all we have, the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians says, hey, let's just eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. Let's just have a party. But as Christians, we have a hope of life after death, a life with our Savior for eternity. As Christians, we have a hope in the resurrection of our body after death. Not the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, because that's already happened, right? But our bodily resurrection when Jesus returns. Do you believe in the resurrection of the dead? Do you really believe in it? Do you hope for it? There's a passage in the Bible that's often read at funerals to give us hope. Maybe it's familiar to you. It talks about this hope of resurrection. It's found in 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 through 18. And most of my scriptures this morning will be from the NLT, the New Living Translation. So 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 says, and now, dear brothers and sisters, that's you and I, we want you to know what will happen to the believers who have died, so that you will not grieve like people who have no hope. And we want you to encourage each other with this truth. For since we believe that Jesus died and was raised to life again, we also believe that when Jesus returns, those who are dead will rise up out of their graves to go to be with Jesus in the air, along with those people who are still living at that time, Christians. The dead will come out of the ground. Those who are alive at the time when Jesus returns will all fly up in the air and meet Jesus. It's kind of a crazy picture, isn't it? It's crazy enough to think about Jesus flying up into the air when he left the earth the first time. And it says to be encouraged by this, that there's hope. We will meet Jesus again with our friends, with our loved ones. We're going to be resurrected and be with him forever. Does that encourage you? Do you look forward to it? Your body being raised from the dead? I don't. This may surprise you, but I'm a normal human being like you guys. Some people think pastors are these super spiritual people that have all their theology all figured out, already pondered the great questions of the faith, and have good answers to all of them. That's not me. I'm still trying to figure it out. And on this one, I don't think I've really thought about my bodily resurrection more than in the last week preparing for this teaching. What I have looked forward to is leaving this body because it is broken. I have lots of pain and sickness. I've already had one back surgery at 46, and I'll probably need more. I have acid reflux, high blood pressure, insomnia, and my feet hurt a lot every night when I sit down and want to go to bed. Yeah. Some of you might say, well, Steve, dude, take care of yourself. Why don't you? I am. I work out 4 to 5 times a week. I try to eat healthy. Every morning, I drink some green juice with barley grass and carrots. Yeah, that's my problem. I was wondering what my problem was. And I'm still broken. And what's more than that is I have this old nature hanging on, tempting me to sin, and keeping me from having the closeness with Jesus that I long for and that he's promised me. I just look forward to being done with this body. And now you're telling me that it's going to be resurrected from the dead and I'm going to live with it forever? Amen, brother. Well, we'll get there. I really don't think that many Christians have thought about their bodily resurrection. And I really don't think many Christians hope for it or long for it. You see, hope in the Bible, it's well, this is actually even a just the general definition of hope. It's to trust in, to wait for, to look forward to desire something, to expect the benefits that it will bring in the future. And in this case, our resurrection. The Bible says that hope leads to joy, Romans 12:12, to boldness, 2 Corinthians 3:12, to faith and love, Colossians 1:4-5, and courage, as in our bodily resurrection, 1 Thessalonians 4:18. For me, again, I just hope to be out of this body one day. You know, whether you're sick today or not, all of us will be sick one day, right? Come age 70 to 100, all of us have one thing in common. We'll all be dead. And we'll be buried in the ground, every one of us. And then what's going to happen? Well, I looked it up to see what most people think is going to happen. It's interesting. 72% of Americans believe in heaven. That's good. 72%. And it says that 62% say that they've made a personal commitment to Jesus Christ that still matters to them today. So that's pretty good. So we have a lot going there, at least 62%, right? But of Americans who believe in a resurrection, okay, so let's say the majority of people in here who believe in the resurrection of the dead, 2/3 of them believe that they will not have bodies after the resurrection. So that's interesting. What do you believe? So it seems like many Christians either don't really care about this area, bodily resurrection, or tend to spiritualize it some. You know, it's the verse that I read in 1 Thessalonians, I think, that can throw us off, right? It says, we're all going to be caught up in the air and be with the Lord forever. That gives us this idea that we're going to be these immaterial, ghostly figures bouncing from cloud to cloud, like we see in the movies sometimes. It's just confusing. Some say it's so confusing, I don't even want to think about it. I just look forward to being with Jesus. Let's move on from this resurrection of the dead stuff. Many don't reject the doctrine outright, but many don't grasp the essential meaning of resurrection from the dead. It's living with a physical body on a physical earth, remade at the end of time after judgment. Living with a physical body on a physical, real earth. You see, a non-physical resurrection is self-contradictory. I said it. It's like a sunless sunrise. It makes no sense. There's no such thing. Resurrection means that we will have bodies. If we didn't have bodies, we wouldn't be resurrected. So what will it be like, right? Well, we're going to take a look at Jesus because he was resurrected from the body, and we read about that. we can learn from Jesus about what it'll be like for us in our resurrected bodies. You see, you and I believe that Jesus came to earth, lived as a man in a body just like you and I, lived a sinless life, was buried, and rose from the grave 3 days later in the same physical body, conquering sin and death. This is the gospel. This is the good news, right? 1 Corinthians 15:1-4. This is explaining what I just explained in the most concise way possible in the New Testament. It's called the kerygma. It's the most concise explanation of the gospel that we have. Paul says, "Let me now remind you of the good news that I preached to you before. You welcomed it, and you stand firm in it. I passed on to you what was most important." Here it is. Christ died for our sins, just as Scripture said. He was buried, and he was raised from the dead on the third day, just as Scripture said. That's the good news. Now, if you're here this morning and you don't believe that, I want to encourage you to believe it. To put your hope in the one who lived a perfect life, died on the cross for your sins, was buried and rose again. You can do that right now in your heart. If you have questions about that, feel free to grab me afterwards or grab the person who invited you today if it's confusing about what I'm talking about. But for us that have put our faith in Jesus, let's get back to the resurrection. What do we learn from Jesus rising from the dead? Well, one thing we learn is that it's in the same body that he was buried in, right? The empty tomb is the ultimate proof that Christ's resurrected body was the same body risen from the dead that he went to the cross on. Because if Jesus didn't rise from the dead bodily, if it was just spiritual, his body would have still been in the tomb, right? When Jesus said to his disciples after his resurrection, "It is I myself," he was emphasizing to them that he was the same person in both spirit and in body who had gone to the cross. Now, the disciples did see the marks of his crucifixion. Unmistakable evidence that it was the same body. So this then is the most basic truth about our resurrected bodies, that they are the same bodies that God created for us today that will be resurrected and yet with greater perfection than we've ever known. Most of us believe in the physical resurrection of Jesus Christ and it being the cornerstone of redemption, right? But redemption of what? Is it redemption of just our spirits only? No, it's the redemption not only of our spirits, but our bodies, this physical body, and this physical creation that we see around us. Romans 8:21 says, the creation, now this creation you'll see is not including our bodies. It's talking about that out there. The creation looks forward to the day when it will join God's children in glorious freedom from death and decay. You see, Jesus died and rose from the dead for an eternal future for fully restored human beings dwelling on a fully restored earth, the new earth. This is Christianity. And it's not Mormonism, okay? It's Christianity. Look at this verse. It's interesting. Romans 8:11. The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies. What does this verse say? It says, just as God raised Jesus from the dead, you will be raised as well. This means your mortal bodies that you live in today will be resurrected. Some of you might still be thinking, Steve, this is hard to believe. It's kind of weird. I understand, and many of first century Christians thought this as well. This was a difficult doctrine to grab a hold of. And Paul addresses it in 1 Corinthians 15. This is what he says. He says, but tell me this. This is right after the portion we just read earlier about the gospel, okay? He says, look, this is the gospel. This is what we believe. We all believe this. And then he goes on here and says in 1 Corinthians 15, 12 through 14, he says, but tell me this. Since we preach that Christ rose from the dead, why are some of you saying that there will be no resurrection of the dead? Talking about bodily resurrection. For if there is no bodily resurrection of the dead, you and I, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, then all our preaching is useless and your faith is useless. Paul's saying, look, if there is no bodily resurrection for us, then Jesus didn't rise from the dead and Christianity means nothing, just like any other religion. Paul and God are very serious that we believe in and hope for the resurrection of our bodies from the dead. See, Paul takes something that we are very sure of, Jesus' resurrection, and proves what we're not sure of, our bodily resurrection. If we give up the bodily resurrection of Jesus, we give up Christianity. And we have to remember that Jesus rose bodily from the dead so that we could also rise bodily from the dead, not just our spirits. So let's keep looking at Jesus. We know Jesus had a body of flesh and bones, right? Luke 24:29. This is what Jesus said to his disciples after he rose from the dead and he was standing there among them. He said, look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have. So Jesus had flesh and bones. Jesus also, during his resurrection, walked on this earth for 40 days, showing us that our resurrected bodies would be well suited for life on earth. The Bible says that our future existence of human beings will take place right here on planet earth. Now it will be a redeemed planet earth, restored to its original perfection. Remember when God created everything in the beginning? Got through with creation before man, and what did he say? It is good. He was excited about his creation, right? And then he created Adam and Eve, and what did he say? It's very good. He was excited about Adam and Eve and the bodies that he gave them. So Jesus, in effect, demonstrated where we would live as resurrected human beings on redeemed planet Earth. What else do we learn from Jesus? The risen Jesus looked like a regular guy. Okay? Remember the Jesus, he was walking on the road to Emmaus with the two disciples. Okay? Now, God had kept these disciples from recognizing Jesus as Jesus, but they thought he was just a normal guy, right? Walking down the road, and they were, hey man, where have you been? They started telling him about what was going on. So it doesn't give any indication that Jesus was like hovering over the ground or looked weird. They just thought he was a normal guy. And then God took the blinders off their eyes, and he recognized, the disciples recognized him as Jesus. What does that tell us? Well, it tells us again that it was the same guy who went to the cross, the same body. And he ate bread with the disciples. And it wasn't like the invisible man, right, that they saw bread going down his esophagus. He was a whole solid human being just like us. He started a fire, ate, walked, talked, and knew his friends as before and they knew him. Nothing indicates that his clothes were strange or that there was a halo over his head. You see, from this, we see that there will be an experience of continuity between our current lives and our resurrected lives, with the same memories and relational histories. We will know our loved ones, and they will know us. You know, I may even like fried shrimp on the new earth. I love fried shrimp. And I'm not for sure, though, because it says the lion will lay down with the lamb, and I don't know what will happen to the shrimp in the ocean if I'll be allowed to eat them, but I really like fried shrimp, so maybe they'll be even more amazing in the new heavens and the new earth. There you go. Amen. Jesus will do that for me. On the other hand, wait a minute. Jesus walked through walls, right? So what's going on there? Well, this could mean one of two things, right? One is that we would have that ability with our resurrected bodies. Wouldn't that be cool? Or it could mean that Jesus has some power as God that we don't have in our resurrected bodies. We just don't know. But 1 Corinthians 15 does tell us that our bodies will be resurrected, imperishable, glorified, powerful, and spiritual. Did you catch that? Imperishable, glorified, powerful, and spiritual. You know, I know some of you may be sitting here during this teaching thinking, Steve, I don't like my body, you know? And now you're telling me that I'm going to be raised from the dead in it. I've not liked what I've looked like for years or forever. I mean, that's a real thing that people struggle with, right? I've put on a few extra pounds over the years. I'm trying to get them off, but it's really hard. But you know what? Our bodies are going to be like it, but not exactly. They're going to be different. They're going to be amazing, and I can guarantee you that you're going to love your new body. And it will be without pain, suffering, or death. And it will be amazing. You know, I can't answer all the questions in this very short teaching. You know, one of the questions that came up was, okay, I die at 90 or I die at 23. What am I going to look like, you know? I don't know. We don't know, okay? You know, Barclay and I were talking about our resurrected bodies and what it's going to be like in the new earth. And Barclay was saying, wow, you know, camping is going to be awesome. And I am thinking, well, finally camping will be awesome because I don't like camping. But I was thinking about it, you know, our new bodies. And what about going to Yosemite and climbing up El Capitan, like free soloing, just up the rock, you know, without any cables or anything? We just don't know. Yeah, you fall, like get to the top, you look over, wow, this is incredible. And then pew, you jump off and you go home. I don't know, but it's going to be amazing. You know, many of us look forward to heaven more now than when we did when our bodies, we look forward to heaven more now because our bodies just don't function as well. And I want to share with you a quote. Some of you know Joni Erickson Tada, a well-known Christian author and speaker. She became paralyzed from the shoulders down at age 18. She's still alive today. It was in 1967. So for over 50 years, she's lived like this in a wheelchair. And this is what she says. Somewhere in my broken, paralyzed body is the seed of what I shall become. The paralysis makes what I am to become all the more grand when you contrast atrophied, useless legs against splendorous, resurrected legs. I am convinced that if there are mirrors in heaven, and why not, the image that I will see will be unmistakably Joni, although much better and brighter Joni. We know that in the resurrection, we will experience life as adopted sons in the way God intended for us to have. That God created for for us to have in the garden that Adam and Eve lost. But Jesus has made a way for us. And in all of eternity, we will one day be restored with the new heavens and the new earth and our new bodies and have a closeness with Jesus that we always have meant to have. I want to close with Romans 8:23. This talks about the hope that we can have with a clear understanding about the resurrection from the dead. And we believers also groan, even though we have the Holy Spirit within us as a foretaste of future glory. For we long for our bodies to be released from sin and suffering. We too wait with eager hope. We wait with eager hope for the day when God will give us full rights as his adopted children, including the new bodies that he has promised us. We are people of hope, and part of that hope is the resurrection from the dead. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you so much for you. God, I don't fully understand this thing, but you promised us redemption of not only our spirits, but our body as well. And I want to hope in that. I want this truth to encourage my spirit and for us to be able to encourage each other with the hope of our resurrection. It's amazing, God, of how you created us and how you've allowed us to enjoy things here on earth. You enjoy creation. We enjoy the connection that we have with one another. We enjoy the connection that we have with you. And one day, these things are going to be amazingly better, more incredible. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.